sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. Bible with you this morning, I ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Book of Ephesians chapter 1 is where I would like to, if the Lord be with us, to kind of pick back up where we left off last time I was here. Seems like a while ago, but thankful to be able to try again. I encourage you to look with me here in Ephesians chapter 1 as we try to continue our study through this book and the things that the Lord would have us to know through the writer, Apostle Paul. I want to start at the very beginning again. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I start this morning by reminding you again that Paul is writing here to us, the saints of God, to his children, and to those that are faithful in Christ Jesus. And remind you again that that truly is the goal. That's what we tried to look at as the introduction of this book. Paul's mindset and his desire, and that he has been inspired by God to give to us, is a calling for us to come from being the saints of God into those that are faithful in Christ Jesus. I am beyond thankful to be a child of God. Aren't y'all? We're going to look at that this morning. I hope that you are. It's one of the main focuses this morning, that I am tremendously thankful that I am a child of God. But further than that, if that's even a thing, further than being a child of God, we have the tremendous blessing that He has given us His Word, that He has given us His church, that we're able to gather together and Lord willing, to hear from Him each time that we're gathered together through the preacher. And we are able to be taught how to be faithful, to follow, to understand God. That He's not just some being in heaven that we can't understand. He's not just some being in heaven that's so far away that we can't understand Him, that we can't know Him, that we can't speak to Him. We have the privilege, the immense privilege of having the teachings of Him that we can understand Him. That we can know Him. That we can understand what it means to be a child of God. And to be the faithful in Christ Jesus. And Paul here goes on to tell us, grace and peace be unto you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's truly his goal, is that grace and peace might abound in our lives. That's very much what we need. But this morning I want to look at the next couple of verses and see our deepest, our greatest praise. Look with us here, starting in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And I'll stop there for this morning. And Lord willing, we make it that far. We all know this section of Scripture, right? Some of our favorite verses. The truth of God's salvation of his people. The understanding of the things that God has done for us. We all know these things, that he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that he has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, that he's redeemed us, he's forgiven us, he's washed us with his blood, he's regenerated us and quickened us unto life. We know this section of Scripture well, but I remind you again, as I did last time, that these are not just preambles for our faith. These are not just proof texts for us to prove others wrong. Paul has a mindset in sharing these things with the church of Ephesus, and further by God's inspiration sharing them with us in his word. There's much more than just proof text here. Paul is wanting us to understand and to take some time to bless God. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed be the God and Father. Now, truly, God is blessed. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just. He is good. Y'all like to sit around and think about God? How good he is, even when we don't understand it. How good he is to us. How righteous he is. How just he is. How blessed, how awesome, how amazing the God of heaven is. Truly, indeed, he is blessed. How is it that we can bless God our Father? By spending time thinking about him. By spending time worshiping him. By spending time praising him. And that's truly what Paul is saying here when he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Indeed, he is blessed, but he's telling us to take time to bless him, to consider him. How much of our time, and I know the answer for myself in my head, and I encourage you all to answer for yourselves. But of the times that you go to the Lord, how often do you go to him seeking something? Looking for something. We go to God to ask of him to be with us. We go to God to ask of him to change something, to be with something, to work out something, to answer something for us, to knock and he will open, to seek and you will find. Amen? We do these things. We are told by Scripture to go to him and to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. How much time do we spend going to God, seeking things, giving him his, our cares, our fears, our worries, our hurts, our complaints, our arguments, all of these things that I know that we go to God with? And we should. But how often, how much of that time that you spend speaking with God do you spend just blessing him? Just worshiping him. Y'all know worship is not an emotion. today's Christianity, a lot of we're going to get our worship on. You know, that grinds me to my core. Going to get my worship on. Worship is not a light show. It's not a big music. It's not even that time when you truly are singing praises to Him and you feel Him and you just get moved with emotion and the tears begin to flow. That's not worship in itself. Worship is that time that you spend dwelling with God and dwelling, not asking for anything, just spending time with God because He's God. If He had done nothing else other than simply exist, He would be worthy of our worship and our praise. That's what Paul is calling on us for here. To spend time blessing God and thanking Him for the things that He has done and thanking Him for being who He is and spending that time with Him, worshiping Him and saying, Lord, thank You for being God. Thank You for being who You are. That's the time that we should be spending with Him. We have so much in this life to be thankful for. So much in this life that we need to be blessing God for. The breath in our lungs. I mean, really, y'all think about it. As I was thinking about these things this morning, trying to prepare my heart and mind for the service, as we all should be doing, trying to spend some time preparing for these things, the fact that the atmosphere's got the perfect mixture of oxygen, nitrogen, and all of these other things that our body needs to be able to thrive and survive. If we leave this atmosphere, we have to take air from here to exist. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. You know, when they leave the planet, they have to take oxygen with them. There's not enough of it elsewhere. You want to know why that is? We're supposed to live here. God designed this place for our dwelling. It's of God that we can breathe the air that's around us. Bless God for it. The food that we have to eat. He created and made and gave us the herb of the field. He created and formed and made the animal, the beast of the field. Now, whether you like a salad or not, I know you probably all like a steak. You at least all like bacon, right? You know, God's the one that gave us that. Bless God for it. This morning, we're thankful for mothers. Amen? Men, boys, children, y'all were supposed to say amen there. We're thankful for mothers this morning. Amen? That's a little better. You know how much of a tremendous blessing it is in this world if you have a mother? Everybody's got a mother. I mean, not mom. I mean a true mother. You know how much of a tremendous blessing it is to have that in your life? Someone that loves you and cares for you in unconditional ways. There's truth to the saying that's a face that only a mother could love. And that's not always saying ugly. Mothers love unconditionally. You know, that's a blessing of God. Bless Him for it. Fathers, I'm not going to leave y'all out. And in today's time, if you've got both, tremendously blessed. We've got some awesome things in this world to be thankful for and to bless God over. Amen? Those are good. Those are tremendous blessings. Those are awesome blessings that we should spend time just blessing and thanking and praising God that we have these things in our lives. We should spend time counting our blessings, as we're told, to count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And you'll be amazed how many things disappear.
if you'll begin to count blessings rather than troubles. You should count your blessings and forget your troubles, not get them the other way around. Far too often we count our troubles and forget our blessings. We should be blessing God for these things. But Paul is wanting us to see our deepest praise, our deepest blessing. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Have you thanked Him for that? The fact that He is the Father of Jesus Christ, that He is the one that gave us our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without God, there would be no Savior. There was no way in this world that anyone would be able to save themselves or anyone else from their sins. Bar none. You could not pray enough, you could not ask enough, you could not try hard enough to be good enough to gain forgiveness of your sins. There is no way that it could have been done but God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We need to spend time blessing God that He loved us enough He was willing to give up His Son, to give us, to send Him here, and that Jesus was willing to come here. He was willing, He was a willing participant to come here, knowing full well, a lot like Isaac. "Father, I see the wood. I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice?" And Isaac went willingly. Jesus was willing to come. And God was willing to let Him come. Both of those statements are amazing. The closest we could get to understanding that in this world would be like if your child, if there was a major war going on right now, and I know there's fightings and there's arguments in the world right now, but I'm talking, go back, World War going on right now, and your son came to you, your only son came to you and said, "I want to go fight." And you had to watch them walk out the door and go. And further than that, you knew they wouldn't come back. Can you imagine how hard that would be? God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, spend time blessing Him for that. Praising Him for that. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So far, I've listed off several worldly blessings that I'm glad that God has given us. Y'all don't get me wrong. I am so beyond thankful for the fact that I can breathe this morning. I'm beyond thankful that I've got the health to stand here, especially after this last week and our feet hurt so bad. I'm so thankful that I'm able to stand here this morning, that He gives me the strength to do these things, that He gives me the blessings of these things. But I'm talking spiritual blessings. Far higher, far greater than anything of this world. "He hath," I love that word, "hath." It's perfect. It's past tense. You can't argue against it. You can't come against it. These things, nothing that I speak to you this morning is something that you're looking for. Nothing that I speak to you is something you're looking for, trying to find, seeking, obtaining, asking for, praying for. Nothing that is spoken of in this section of Scripture is something that we're waiting to happen. It's already been done. It's completed. These are the completed works of our salvation. You want to talk about works-based salvation? I believe in it. Without the works of God and Jesus Christ, we would not be saved. It is through His works that we are saved, and through them alone. "He hath blessed us," and I love this, "with all spiritual blessings. See, in this world, you might have a mother, but you don't have a father. You might have a father, you don't have a mother. You might have health, but you don't have wealth. You might have wealth, but your health is failing. You might have good strength today, but tomorrow you can barely get out of bed. Some of you have higher wealth than others. Some of you have better health than others. But when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the spiritual blessings, when it comes to our deepest praise, God has given us His all. I don't have anything that you don't have. And let me tell you, you don't have anything I don't have. The least Christian, y'all get this, y'all get how good this is. The least Christian, the child of God that has just found out they're a child of God, they've never done anything for God, they've never asked of anything of God, but they have, that you know they're a child of God, they have everything you've got nothing they don't have. Y'all know how good that is? There's not anything when it comes to your spiritual welfare and your spiritual life and your spiritual blessings that you earn. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I'm not waiting on anything. Well, brother, I'm waiting on heaven. If you're waiting on heaven to experience God, you're wasting eternal life. I'm not waiting on anything. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He held nothing back. When it came to the salvation of His people, He held nothing back from us. When it comes to the spiritual welfare of His children, He holds nothing back. He has given us His Spirit. He has given us His Word. He has left us His church. He has left us brothers and sisters in Christ. And He has promised that these things will remain on this earth until the day that He comes. Amen. What are we lacking? Nothing. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And these are the things that we need to give our deepest praise and our deepest blessing to God over. Because I can tell you, it doesn't matter if you're elect or non-elect, you know the same oxygen goes into their lungs. You know, if it doesn't matter if you're elect or non-elect, you can have a good mother. You're elect or non-elect, you can have a good father. You can have health, you can have wealth, you can have the rain, you can have the sunshine, you can have the sorrows, you can have the joy. Thought joy was the fruit of the Spirit. I'm talking spiritual, godly joy is the fruit of the Spirit. You can have pleasure, elect or non-elect. There's a difference in pleasure and joy. I'm talking spiritual blessings. Not everybody gets this. These are the things of our deepest praise, our greatest praise. What are they? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I encourage you to understand the heavenly places is not the church. I know oftentimes it's considered the church, it's been taught that's the church. I don't believe that the spiritual, the heavenly places are the church. Heavenly places are the places, the aspects, the sections, the parts of your life that pertain to God. He has blessed you in them. In the things that God has done for you, He has blessed you in those things. In heavenly, spiritual places, things. Are what those are talking of. What are those things? According. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. This is where it begins. Y'all know that. This is where God started. None of the rest of the blessings that we're going to look at, and I believe there's seven of them here. I might look at two this morning. I don't know that we'll go any further than that. I believe there are seven heavenly places, heavenly things, and heavenly spiritual blessings that He has given us here. But none of them would exist in our lives if this first one were not true. The first, the greatest blessing that we need to give up to God is the fact that He chose us. We did not choose Him. There is not an aspect of anyone on this earth choosing to be a child of God. Let me ask you, did you choose to be your mother's child? Or were you born that way? The same rings true for spiritual. There is not an aspect that we choose to be a child of God. I call on you, and the gospel calls on you, and scripture calls on you to choose to act like a child of God, but you do not choose to be a child of God. God did that. God chose His people. Why did He do that? Because He wanted to. Because He loved us. We find that in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. For whom He did foreknow. That foreknowledge. That's not just a simple head knowledge. That's not just simple. God knows everything. God knows everyone. Y'all know that? God knows everyone. So that foreknowledge is not just the simple head knowledge of these people. It is a loving. He loved them before they existed. Do y'all get how good that is? The God of the universe. Y'all think about these things this morning. I beg you, I encourage you. Y'all got to get this. The God of the universe, the one that's able to do everything, the one that was able to create everything, the one that's able to control everything, the one that's able to hold the entire universe in the span of His hand, the one that will not look upon iniquity. Chose me. I can't imagine that. You say, well, yeah, but He loves us. Yes, I know that, but y'all got to understand these things. What's your least favorite thing in the world? You can answer for yourself. Your least favorite thing in the world. My wife's is snakes. They're kind of, meh, but I can deal with them. But it would be like my wife choosing to love a snake. That's not going to happen. God chose us. Knowing full well what we would do. Knowing full well what we would become. God did not choose us because we would bring something to the team. God did not choose us because we were going to better His work. God did not choose us because we were going to be the best Christian in the world. We were going to believe. God did not look down through the tunnel of time and see the ones that were going to accept Him, follow Him, worship Him, praise Him, read the Bible, go to church and say, well, those are the ones that I'm going to choose. That's not how this worked. We look in Scripture and we find that He did look down through the portals of time. And you know what he found? There's none good. Well, what about this guy? No, not one. We have all come short of the glory of God. All of our righteousness has together come to be as filthy rags. He did look down through the portal of time, and he found that none would follow him. None would call unto him. None would worship him. None would praise him. Had God stayed his hand and stayed out of this, that would have been the outcome. We would not be here this morning if God had not chosen us. This book would not be here right now if God had not chosen us. God didn't look to see the ones that were going to love him, follow him, worship him, praise him, and ask for him. He chose us in spite of us, completely in spite of us. And while we're on the subject, I can tell you that I believe the elect family of God to be far greater than any number than you can even begin to imagine. There are so many in the world that say, well, yeah, I've heard about that doctrine of election, but boy, it don't let many people in. That is so false. I can tell you the doctrine of election, the doctrine that is given to us here perfectly, that God chose us in Him. I want to speak to that a little bit here in a minute, that He chose us before the foundation of the world is the only doctrine, it is the only biblical truth that makes the book of Revelation accurate when He says He has a people in every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. I can tell you there are kindred, nation, tongues, and people that have never heard the name of God. There are kindred, nation, tongues, and people that abhor the name of God and will not let Him in, and He's got people there. You want to know why? Because He chose them. Because they're His. And our being His is not based on anything that we do. It is 100% based on Him. And we need to bless Him for that. We need to spend time thanking Him. Just the very fact that we can thank Him is because He chose us. That's just how big and good this is. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Not only did God choose us before the foundation of the world, He did something with us. He placed us in Christ's safekeeping before the world even began. I'm talking about before He said, let there be. When you look back in Genesis 1:1, and God created the heavens and the earth, y'all know that's the very beginning of time. Amen? I'm talking about before Genesis 1:1. There was stuff going on before Genesis 1:1. And those things were God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit communing with each other and planning out and designing Him having a people with Him, holy and blameless in love before Him for eternity. And He had all of that worked out before He ever stepped out and said, let there be. He chose His people, every one of them, each and every one of them, and He placed them into Christ, into His safekeeping. We've been in the holy, loving hands of Christ since before the foundation of the world. Did y'all know that? You should. It's told to us here plainly. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, and He placed us into Christ. That's the Him there. That's Christ before the foundation of the world. What all does this teach us? A whole lot. But there's one I want you to see the most. Because it's something that we question from time to time. We wonder, does being a child of God and being in Christ's holy, loving hands keep us from experiencing the evils of this world? No. Y'all understand, Adam is one of God's people. I firmly believe that. And I believe Adam was in the holy, loving hands of Christ before the foundation of the world, because I believe we're taught that. And still Adam was able to commit original sin. How is that? Because God is in control. And he knew that was going to happen. He was not surprised. He was not shocked. He did not have to come up with a plan B. He knew that was going to happen, and he knew he had the cure for the problem before it existed. Being in the holy, loving hands of Christ does not keep us from the problems of this world. We're going to have problems in this world. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have turmoils. We're going to have struggles. But we will never leave the loving hands of God. He will keep us. He will hold us throughout the entirety of it. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless, without blame, before him in love. Why did he place us in Christ? So that we would be holy and without blame. It is the preservation of the saints. It is only because of these things that we will be in heaven. It's not the fact that I will persevere and that I will be perfect and I will not mess up and I will not sin. I can tell y'all, brothers and sisters, I mess up. I make mistakes. And I beg y'all forgive me on them, because I know I make them. But in God's eyes, because of the blood of Christ, I am holy and I am without blame. Do y'all need anything else to bless God over? We have the forgiveness of sins. We were placed into Christ and in his safekeeping, and there we will remain until that last day, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He has, beyond the fact that he chose us before the foundation of the world, beyond the fact that he placed us into Christ's safekeeping, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Or as we're told in the book of Romans, we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. That is where we will be. This is such a tremendous blessing to know and to understand that according to God, he has predestined, he has predetermined. Can anyone change God's mind? Can anyone stay God's hand? Can anyone prove God wrong? No, because he is not wrong. If God predetermines something, it's going to happen. There is no threat. There is no worry. There is no concern. It is guaranteed. I firmly believe, and I encourage each one of you to firmly believe and understand in the eternal security of God's children. The book of Ephesians teaches it so plainly that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Was there anybody there to influence God other than God at that point? Did he ask our permission? No. He took care of that. He placed us into Christ, and he predetermined. That's what predestinated means. He predetermined. He stated that we would be his children. That's the adoption that he's speaking of there. He predestinated us to be his children, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. It is through the works of Christ that we have been made the children of God. It was predetermined that Christ would come to this world. It was predetermined that He would go to the cross. That's why when we look at the life of Christ, there comes a time when He sets His face as a flint towards Israel, towards Jerusalem. He determines that now is the time. How many times did He say, now is not the time? It's not yet the time. But when it came to the time, He told Peter, put up your sword. Now is the time. There was a predetermined, predestinated time for Jesus to hang on that cross. What all was predestinated? Is everything in this world predestinated? No. Scripture does not teach that everything in the world is predestinated. The fact that I believe in predestination does not mean that I believe everything in the world is predetermined to happen. The things that were predestinated were the things that were required for this to happen. And that's it. I believe in predestination and free will. Did y'all know that? I believe in predestination and free will. They coincide one with another. How is that? The things that are predestinated are the things that it took to get you to be a child of God. It was before the foundation of the world that God determined that Jesus would be the one that would come to this world. And that He would live a perfect life. That He would be born of a virgin because He knew that would be required. It was predetermined that He would be born conceived in the womb of a virgin. It was predetermined that He would go and die the death of the cross in our stead. It was predetermined that He would raise again on the third day. And it's predetermined that He will come back one day. And the resurrection will be done. And our bodies will be raised again, perfect and ready for heaven. These things are predetermined. Everything else is according to what we do. It's according to how you respond. How easy is your life? That's according to how you respond. How hard is your life? It's according to how you respond. But your life doesn't determine your outcome. God predestinated the outcome of His children. Predetermined, and these things are all hath blessed. He predetermined that I would be a child of God. All the foolishness, all of the sin that I have willingly partook in will not keep me from my home. You reckon that would be good to spend some time blessing God over? I know we've all got sin in our lives. God is so good that that will not keep us from Him. God's due some blessing over that. We wonder sometimes, we question, we offer, God, why did You choose me? Why me, Lord? I fail You all the time. I feel like a flop. I don't feel like I accomplish anything. Half the time, Lord, I feel like I'm holding everybody else back. They'd be better off without me. Anybody ever have those wonders? Why, Lord, would You choose me? The book of Ephesians tells us. All of this was done in accordance to the good pleasure of His will. Why did God do this? Because it put a smile on His face to do so. Because He wanted to. Because He loves us. That's how good God is. You think that might do for some blessings? It's just, I encourage you to spend time thanking God for your many, 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 many tremendous blessings on this world and in this life. But our deepest praise and our deepest worship for Him was completed before the foundation of the world ever began. He chose you. He predetermined your outcome. And it's all because He loves you. I thank you, and God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me?
Sing His
praise. Sing His
praise.
The saints in glory.
Gathered by
the crystal sea.
The crystal sea.